Why? Because when the Lord speaks, the Word has this life in it that is in seed form. But for that to become fruit in your life, it's going to require faith and patience. The fathers who, through faith and patience, inherited the promises. All right? So Paul said, when the Lord touched me in that way, He killed something in me. He killed this trust in the Jewish religion that I had all of my life given myself to. He later says that I persecuted the church, but I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. He had great faith in the Jewish religion, but what he was doing was in unbelief, because the only true faith is in Jesus Christ. There is one faith. I had great faith in what I was doing as a Catholic. When I did not eat meat on Friday, I believed that I was pleasing God. I had a zeal without knowledge. And the Lord, of course, had to come and show that to me. Well, the first thing that happened, I think, that started me towards that, strangely enough, was when Audrey and I were opening our wedding presents. And I was excited about seeing what we got. And we went through many of them. And then we came to this one that came from my sister Helen. And I, to this day, she's not serving the Lord, but it's a strange thing. We opened it up, and there was a Bible. And it was white. And I looked at that thing, and I didn't say anything because there were other people there. In my heart, I said, a Bible? Who wants a Bible? Who buys a person a Bible for a wedding present? And it's not even black. It's a feminine Bible. So, of course, that wedding gift was just put out of the way. And in my mind, it didn't even exist until about a year and a half later. And the Lord started to stir me to go and read that Bible. And I was on the brink of getting a very, very good job that paid very good money. And the first place that I opened to, and this was a Catholic Bible, probably the Dewey Rheims version of the Bible, I opened Ecclesiastes, and it said, "Vanity of vanity, all is a chase after vanity." And the Lord used that, after I looked some things up, to show me that no matter what I gained in this life, I was going to lose it all. No matter how high I attained as to a position of prominence or how much money I made, I was going to lose it all. And what he did there was he put an awareness in me that caused me not to be able to enjoy to the full all the money I was going to make. There was a dissatisfaction in my heart. And then time went on and went on. And my brother was converted, and I can't go into that tonight. But he went from black and to white, and he became my burning bush. And through him, his witness to me, we ended up in a church service one day where I was almost out the door. And that is where the Lord literally came down and made himself as real to me as you are that are sitting there right now, maybe more so, because it took place inside of me. And when he did that, the Lord separated me from my mother's womb, from that religious system of Catholicism. Now, whether it's Hindu, or whether it's Muslim, whether it's Jewish, whether it is Catholic, see, all of it is outside of God. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not people who in their heart are either in God or can be brought into God. But it means that that system and the like, it does not contain the righteousness of God, the thoughts of God, or the ways of God. And the commandments of God have been replaced by the traditions of men. Now look in 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, God places teachers in the church, and apostles and prophets who also teach. And you can sit under teachers and you can go to Bible school. You can graduate from Bible school with top honors and still not have the knowledge of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you do not get it by revelation. I can speak to you words, but that's all they are, even if they're spirit and life, until you have a place in your heart to receive those words and it becomes life to you. When I first came to the Lord, He spoke into my darkness. Remember, He told the disciples, "That which I tell you in darkness, speak ye in the light." In time, by revelation, what He spoke into my darkness became light to me. See, I went from being ignorant of what He was saying to knowing what He was saying. I knew what it meant. It became life to me. Then I go out and I speak into people's darkness. And someone may have never heard these things before. They can leave the meeting and still be in darkness. Or the Spirit of God, for whatever reason that is involved, will come and He will enlighten them. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ will enlighten them. The day star will arise in their heart and they will see it. And they will know that they know that they know that what they have is the truth, because it really wasn't taught by me. It was taught by the Spirit of God. I have been in services where the preacher was preaching and the Spirit of God took me far beyond what they were saying, even while they were saying it. See, and that can happen, I'm sure it has happened, in meetings where I have been ministering and the Spirit of God has come and in the Spirit taken a person far beyond perhaps where I was because of their heart condition and the like. But in 1 Peter... in verse 13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Now, I can't get into this tonight because we would not have enough time. But we are very wishy-washy in our thinking. Our mind is a very powerful thing, and it can be a real battleground. But our mind can be like a city without walls, so that whatever thoughts are projected into it, we receive them and even act upon them or respond towards them. The Lord would bring us to the place where we become like that servant in Isaiah, and if you want to write this down, I think it's Isaiah 43, where it says, "Who is blind like my servant, who sees many things, but he doesn't see them? And who is deaf like my servant, who hears many things, but doesn't hear them?" What's Isaiah saying? He is saying that that person is dead to sin, but he is alive unto God. And I'll give you an example. When the woman was taken in adultery, see, the men came and they began to accuse her to Jesus. And it says he stooped down and he began to write upon the ground as if he heard not. Everybody wants to know, what did he write upon the ground? That's not the issue. The issue was as though he heard not. He was not responding to what they were saying. He was waiting to hear from the Father as to how the Father was going to deal with this particular situation. He said, "I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it." So he was deaf to them. He was dead to them and their sin, but he was alive unto God. And when God spoke, he rises up and he says, "He that is without sin."
And I don't think he was referring to going out and getting drunk or to lying or stealing. I think he was referring to fornication and adultery. First of all, how did they know where to get this woman taken in the very act? So he rises up and he says, you who are without sin. In other words, you who are not doing what this person, or this, you who are not doing what this person is doing, you can throw the first stone. I've heard men, especially before I was saved, denigrate, revile a prostitute. Yet they would join themselves to the prostitute. So they are the same as the prostitute. And in condemning the prostitute, they condemn themselves. Paul says, he that is joined to a prostitute is one flesh with them, with that one. And when we condemn others, you can be sure that that very same fault in some way, shape, or form is in us. So gird up the loins of your mind. And just let me touch on this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you know, you can be far away from the ungodly, but if you have ungodly thoughts in your mind and are acting upon them, you are walking in the counsel of the ungodly. But he meditates in the law of the Lord day and night. That's what fills his mind. That's what fills his thinking. Paul says that you might be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, I had a Catholic American mind. It was so far away from the mind of Christ that I needed an extreme conversion. Paul had a Jewish mind. It was so far from the mind of Christ that he needed an extreme conversion. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways above your thoughts and ways. What a conversion must take place in us as far as our thinking is concerned. And Peter is saying, gather up your thoughts and cast down every imagination and reasoning that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What a job! Every person, for the most part, that you hear, they're speaking imaginations and reasonings that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And you and I have to protect ourselves from hearing those things. The newspapers, you sit and watch the news. And so much of that is just exalting itself against the knowledge of God. And you have to block that stuff out. You get to a college atmosphere. Talk about reasonings and imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And if we have given ourselves to thought patterns over and over and over, these things become strongholds in us. And they become places where the enemy comes in and they become his base of operations. And just like an army brings in all kinds of supplies and munitions and the like and operates out from there, Satan will do the same thing in your life. And he can use the same thought over and over and over and over again to keep you into captivity. We will either bring every thought into captivity in the knowledge of God, or our thoughts will bring us into captivity. And it can become such a captivity that we literally go insane. That's how captive our thoughts have us. And we live in an absolutely imaginary world. I won't tell you which relative it is of mine, but he lives in a totally imaginary world because first he rejected the Lord and then he gave himself to certain thoughts. And they became so powerful in his life that he has had built for him an imaginary world that doesn't exist. We can imagine God to be a particular way when He is not that way at all. He said in Psalms, He says, you think that you are altogether, that I am altogether like you are. That's what He said, Psalm 50. Do you know, there are a lot of Americans who think that God thinks like they do. That God is an American. God is not an American. He was around a long time before America ever existed, and He's going to be around a long time afterwards. There are many thoughts that God has. Shall I call them un-American? There are many thoughts that God has that are un-Jewish, un-Kenyan. You know, you go every country that you go to, you find these strange customs. We don't have strange customs here in America. Why? Because we're Americans. But anybody who comes here looks at us and, boy, these people are strange. The way they live. And of course, we go overseas and we look at the way they live and we think, where did they come up with this stuff? Well, we're going to see it's the traditions of the fathers. And it is a system of bondage in our lives that only the power of God can break us free from.
That's right.
Nothing would have broken me free from the bondage of the Catholic Church except the touch of the Spirit of God on my life. And when He touched me, it was like He took a sword and He severed that pull of the Catholic Church on my life. I mean, in one moment's time. The Word and the Spirit of God is very, very powerful in our lives. And so Peter says here, gird up the loins of your mind and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, if your loins of your mind are not girded up, you are what the Bible calls feeble-minded. Doesn't mean that you're insane. That's not it. It means that you will not endure whatever it is that the Spirit of God is asking you to endure. When you become weary and faint in your mind, you are feeble-minded. And the feeble-mindedness reflects itself in hands that hang down and feeble knees. So when He says to us, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, the ability to do that is not in the hands and the knees. It's in our heart and in our mind. See, and we must let this mind be in us, which was in Christ Jesus. Now remember, the American mindset is you go up to go up. That's most natural people think that. But the mind of Christ is you go down to go up. Who being in the form of God, that's really up there, emptied Himself and made Himself of no reputation. Here He is, God walking around. Who's that? Oh, that's Jesus of Nazareth. He was born out of wedlock. You don't want anything to do with Him.